putting under, you know, that harpy guy who basically is in the military. You know, harpy is a winged serpent creature. It's a female. It's always a female. And it basically has talons and claws, and it basically screeches. And it's funny, he would call himself harpy. And, of course, that's being used from the mythical. What it is, a mythical demonic creature is what it is. Like a fallen angel that basically was a female or whatever the heck it was. Or a female that turned into a fallen angel. Or a female that turned into someone with wings and a demon. I don't know what it is. It's something weird. Look at the pictures. Look up harpy photos at JRPIE. And you'll see what they look like. And it's funny, they call this thing, this drag queen guy in the Navy now, a harpy. And it boggles my mind. These entities that run the planet, they constantly do this to us. They constantly recycle the same things over and over and over. That's why Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. We'll cover that as a continuing saga of angel wars goes on, and who Solomon was and what an unbelievably pervert he turned into, worshiping all these fallen angels and these other entities that feed them the children of Israel. So, through sacrificial altars, just mention that again. And so all of this stuff is basically part of this ongoing saga on planet Earth as we sit here and watch it unfold in front of us. Well, is all of this just I'm talking about angel wars. He says, is this a game? And I said, no, it's not a game. This is a real war going on. I said, this isn't a game. This is for the hearts and the souls of the people on this planet. And but we've been given Jesus, which is the only choice that we have that can get us through this. That's it. There's nothing else. Buddha's not going to do it. He's dead in the grave somewhere. Muhammad, he's dead too. He didn't resurrect. These people are they're entities and people that were put out there by the fallen angels to distract from what Christianity is. That's all this is. And we have to understand that. Now we're going to talk about the war, the actual war. Let me stop for 1 second. The war in the heavenlies, the pre-Adamic race. A lot of this stuff is based on scripture. A lot of it is putting pieces of the puzzle together. This is not canonized, I'm going to tell you today. A lot of these are my opinions. A lot of these things basically are referred to loosely in the scripture. So this is something that I've put together on this show, especially for today's broadcast, that's going to really add some insight into what's going on as far as the world today as we see it. But don't be saying, well, Ted Brewer believes this, or Ted Brewer believes that, or Ted Brewer believes this. I'm telling you, this is a lot of speculation on my part even on what happened. And also, if you see it a different way, good for you. I'm happy for you. But this is how I kind of have viewed it and what's going on, especially when you have the hierarchies in heaven, like archangels, like Michael and all the rest of them, and Jesus being the commander and him showing up on a white horse in the book of Revelation and all the rest of it. So let's go ahead and start on this. Now, the archangel Michael was probably going to be the commander of what happened with the rebellion against Lucifer. He was pretty much, I guess, put together a fighting force that was capable of defending the third heaven. And, you know, Lucifer, of course, not being omnipresent, he's ignorant of the Godhead's actions since he no longer had access to the third heaven. You know, at some point, he ordered an attack on the Godhead and a rebellion into the third heaven. And these spaceships or whatever he was going around in, these interdimensional whatever they had, you know, ended up attacking God. And there was a giant war in the heavenlies. The Bible talks about that. Now, he must have thought he was brilliant because he was really thinking he was going to sneak up on all this, I guess. But his situation was absurd, and it was futile. This battle of the universe, it's literally the known universe, probably covered millions of light years, given the massive sizes of, you know, the angels. They were innumerable, it says. And, you know, whatever he was traveling in were probably destroyed and vaporized by God and never allowed to enter into the third heaven. Lucifer could have never been able to penetrate Michael's offensive line. He couldn't have done it. It's not possible because God already knew everything in advance what was going to happen. Now, after this happened and this thing was rebelled and this pushed back, there was a way that God, at that point with Michael and the other archangels, had to go clear out the rebellion. Now, this is where it gets real speculative here. It really does. And did Michael and his forces have to go out go back to every rebellious planet and attack them? I don't know. You know, we know that there was a colossal amount of damage because of the interplanetary fighting that probably occurred. Undoubtedly, the fallen angels didn't want to be taken alive. They probably weren't killed, but all of the people on the planets, whatever the entities were, that were there also serving them, they probably were fighting with them. And so they were probably all destroyed and killed. You know, like Adolf Hitler, you know, he told the German troops to basically fight to the death, told the German youth to fight to the death in the trenches to defend Berlin. But what ended up happening is the end, because Lucifer's lair was the Earth was probably turned into some type of large camp, you know, as far as from a fighting standpoint. There were probably interconnecting tunnels, which we still see the evidence of the interconnecting tunnels I'm going to go really weird here for a second, okay? You got to stay with me. You know, with Admiral Byrd and the Hollow Earth theory and all the other things that he talked about, and, you know, and the spaceships and all the rest of it, and, you know, Antarctica being an ice wall and all the rest of this stuff, something really is weird with this planet, period, that we have not been told. And now we know that they're interconnecting tunnels. We know that we build interconnecting tunnels. We know what happened with Phil Schneider when he got down to some one of those tunnels, according to Phil Schneider's testimony. And he saw one of these whatever you want to call it, aliens or, you know, hybrids or whatever the heck it was. And he shot it. And then supposedly hit him with a blaster. All of this stuff you got to kind of process in to the rest of it, including what you see in the night sky, including the thousands and thousands of testimonials from people that have actually seen these spacecraft. And including also we have our spaceships that we've built from the technology that we gleaned from Roswell. And it goes on and on and on. You have to go back to Germany with the Viril Maidens and all the advanced technology that they were given. All of this stuff is a remnant of what happened right now that I'm talking to you guys about. That's where it all came from. And this entire planet was basically turned into a giant armed camp. And finally, there was a final attack on Earth. And probably the Earth was really torn up. Then finally, the Earth was flooded with water, just like God did in Genesis chapter 6. And there was nothing left alive except for the fallen angels, probably, and Lucifer himself. This was the first love flood on the Earth, but it had to be done to rid the planet of all of the rebellion of what was going on. So something happened here. So we have to understand that. And of course, then the angels, these angelic forces had to go, I guess they had to capture the fallen angels, all the other ones were running around being weird. And it says that Lucifer's in chains. And so we know all that. And then we have the trial that occurred. Now, here's what's interesting about this trial. And this is the thing that we have to kind of take a look at, is where was this courthouse that was built for the trial? I mean, was it in the third heaven? Was it in the atmosphere of the Earth? Was a special courthouse built here on this planet? It was built up in the atmosphere? We don't know. We know that Lucifer used to go back and forth, and still does, I'm sure, like he did in the book of Job. And we know he's been confined to the Earth and to the atmosphere of the Earth. So is there something out there in space inside of our atmospheric range that we can't see that has an interdimensional cloak on it? I'm getting weird on this. I know that. All right. We don't know. But, you know, it says he's the god of the air, all the rest of it. And he can't leave the planet to go back and forth and accuse Job into the third heaven. He can't do that because he's been confined here. So we have to look at it from that perspective. So you think, well, that sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy. I got it. But, you know, and I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that that's something that could be happening right now. But so it's interesting that this court is being done with Lucifer. You got to remember, there were probably huge holding tanks or whatever were built around the Earth. They could have been in Antarctica. Heck, we don't know where they are. You know, for the fallen angels, and everlasting chains were fastened around them to ensure they did not escape. So we have to understand that. And at a certain time, Jesus, you know, the great I Am, the triune Godhead, probably took a seat on a throne to officiate the trial. That's all I know. I mean, that's where I'm talking to you guys now as a human being, not understanding what's going on in a multidimensional universe and how this took place. But there is a verse I'll read in Revelation 1, 13 through 16. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt around the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun, as the sun shineth in his strength. Revelation 1, 13 through 16. So when Jesus shows up, he really shows up, okay? He really is, you know, we got this. Now, we also have to realize that Lucifer is somehow brought into this interdimensional courtroom that we're just trying to describe now with three-dimensional terms. I mean, we can't describe a multifractal universe in our language. It doesn't – so I'm doing the best I can. I hope you guys will forgive me if I don't get it quite right, because I'm trying to describe stuff that, you know, human beings, unless you're taken to the third heaven, have no idea what trying to describe. And that's why when John was brought up into the third heaven while he was on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus showed him all this stuff, he started understanding what had happened. So we talk about this. So Lucifer had to be brought in. Now, we know he was being tried. he was absolutely unapologetic, and he had nothing but contempt for God, for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. None of it. He said, you know, remember, he's a liar. He's a father of lies. He considers himself equal with God Almighty. So he's not going to have any type of, you know, remorse on what he did. He's just, be honest with you, he's just ticked off that he's gotten caught, that his angelic army has been defeated, that the war in the heavenlies went sideways on him, and he's like now going to be tried. And I can't imagine how the other angels who were not in rebellion felt when they see this cherub come in who was the top guy in heaven. Now think about that for a second. He was the top guy under God. He was leading the worship, doing the whole thing, going back and forth to the third heaven, and now he's on trial for basically complete and total insurrection, for basically trying to stage a coup d'etat against the great I Am, which in essence is unbelievably stupid. But can you imagine the arrogance that he had, that he thought he could do this to start with? It must be mind-boggling. Well, you know, all of this stuff is being shown, and what's happening. And then basically, you know, Jesus finally says, you know, the punishment Lucifer receives is going to be the lake of fire. And then Jesus then ordered the body of Lucifer to be burned. We know that from the scripture. And the other angels must have been watching in horror as fire came forth from inside Lucifer, and he was reduced to a spirit of ashes. Wow. And, you know, think about that. This beautiful, rebellious cherub had been transformed, and I can't imagine what the other angels must have thought when they saw this happen. And now, here's the problem that we have right now when this happened and judgment was cast on Lucifer. Somehow, and I don't understand it, and forgive me for trying to explain it in, you know, in English, in terms like this, he appealed to sentencing because he was so high up in heaven that he said basically something like, you know, how in the world could a loving God cast his, you know, creation into a lake of fire for eternity or something like that? I have no idea. And it created a problem because at that point in time, there's a hierarchy set up in heaven in which God at that point decided, I guess, you know, he had to look at the appeal. I don't know. But all we know is that Lucifer wasn't destroyed then and he got to run around some more. So was he out on probation? I don't know. I'm just telling you that something happened really big here in this trial of Lucifer. And, you know, Christian churches, they don't even talk about the trial of Lucifer. They just assume that everybody knows that Lucifer was basically sentenced and judged. But how did that happen? You know, because remember, what you got to understand here with God is that God is a God of order, not of chaos. You know, the universe is a very precise, finely tuned galactic instrument of just perfection and how God made it. You got planets spinning around suns and orbit and all the rest of the stuff, and not things aren't running into each other. Okay, and so you've got all of this stuff happening, and everything's fine tuned like a Swiss watch. But all of a sudden, we have this cherub that decides to go nuts and decides he's God, which he becomes the God of the Kabbalah, and these guys worship him still to this day. They follow the evil one. In fact, Sabbatane Zevi said the only way we can resurrect the serpent god is to basically, you know, make everything evil all over the planet all of the time. And so that was in 1666. So this sect of these Satanists, these people that are the followers of Lucifer, still exists today. And this is the group that we fight against, who are pushing the transgender agenda, who want to groom our children, who put the harpy into the Navy. All of this stuff is part of this intergalactic war that goes on this planet from an interdimensional interface. And what we've done as Christians, we've done pretty good with this war, battling it, and we've become a pretty good country, and then we put the church to sleep, and the Christians stop praying in aggregate, and they stopped doing what they needed to do as far as raising their families, and they got caught up into the ways of the things of the world. And that's why we've got this now. That's why we've got transgender story hour. And guys go up there dressed like women with no underwear on. They flash their genitalia to little 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, and everybody laughs in glee and thinks it's funny, but it's unbelievable perversion of pornography for these young children. And these weirdos need to be taken out back. And, well, you know what needs to be done to them. But the point is this: we've got a group of people out there that are basically believing that they're gods of hermaphrodite and that their God created the universe. I mean, that's how twisted they are. And this has still been going on. And what ended up happening is Lucifer appealed to sentencing. That's the only thing we could figure out, because he wasn't locked up and he was put on a leash. But God knew that was going to happen too. You know, and basically Lucifer, you know, was challenging God's righteousness in front of all the angels. And, you know, so God had to deal with that the way he did in setting it up, I guess. I don't know. And, you know, so Lucifer was set loose on the earth for the duration of the contest, I guess. there'd be restrictions and rules of engagement to where he could go, effectively limiting him to the planet's surface and up to the outer atmosphere. And his actions during this appeal would also be limited in order to make sure he did not cheat like he did in Genesis chapter 6. Because I told you this yesterday, or the day before, I can't remember anymore. He bred the humans with the angels because there was no redemptive thing for any angels. He was trying to force God, in my opinion, along with trying to contaminate the entire genome, to force God into a redemptive process for the fallen angels, because now they're being compliant with human DNA. That makes sense with that too, along with the making everything evil all the time. All of this stuff happened, and a lot of this stuff is in the Bible. But then we got to realize that Lucifer was sent back to Earth. And then, you know, we have to realize that because each fallen angel was also judged. There wasn't just one angel. It wasn't just Lucifer. His entire cohort had to be judged. Like the white throne judgment. It had to happen to these guys too. We don't know how long this could have taken. If they're innumerable, could that have been hundreds of thousands of years? But remember, every thousand years is but a day. So, I mean, was it a day? Was it 2 days of God's time to do this, to judge these guys? I don't know. We don't know. Now, it's going to get strange here again. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about stuff that I don't normally go into, but we're going to do it anyhow because, I mean, at this point, what difference does it make where this thing has gone today? But what happened is this. We have to realize that we had God saying this. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe, that be us, to the inhabitants of the earth, that be us, and to the and of the seal for the of the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he's pretty hacked off right now, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Revelation 12:10-12. Now we have to understand too. God is now sitting there with this appeal of Lucifer. And then we have to look at the passage that we did the other day, Romans 3:21-26. But now the righteousness of God without the law is being manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus upon all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. To declare God's righteousness again. Is that because of Lucifer's appeal? I don't know, guys. I'm asking you guys that. You know, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Romans 3:21-26. I'm not making this up. You can read it yourself. Now, we realize that Lucifer and the fallen angels and these evil spirits would basically be getting confined to the earth and to its atmosphere. And then we realize that legions of, I guess, armed holy angels, because remember, Christ had legions of armed holy angels around him. He could have called in the Garden of Gethsemane, would be stationed around the atmosphere of the planet to ensure God's decree is not breached. Okay? And we have to understand that other angels were probably involved in the functions of the earth as it was being refurbished and being rebuilt. You know, Lucifer and his minions were held in an underground prison. We got to realize, again, that's Revelation 21-3. And while Jesus prepared the earth, so again, I guess to prove the righteousness of God, like it says in Romans. I don't know, because God's righteousness doesn't have to be approved. But God, for some reason, this appellate process that went through, had to do something here to allow Lucifer to try to prove that he was okay. I guess, I don't know. Your call, you figure that one out, that's above my pay grade. Just thought I'd let you know that. Where then the water covered the surface of the planet, and it was flooded to kill the people that lived on the earth under the reign of Lucifer, including the vegetation and the animals, and I'm sure the sea life survived. And then, here we go. And the Holy Spirit hovered over the surface of the planet in preparation for the refurbishment of the earth. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Wow. And remember, this restoration, if a year of 1,000 years is one day, in 6 days restoration, it'd be 6,000 years. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Genesis 2:1-2. Now we're going to get to some other stuff that's very, very strange. Okay? The refurbishing. Remember, there was a total destruction, apparently all around the earth, you know, with this war that happened. And there, in fact, there was basically the stars emitting light in the vicinity of the earth. Is basically they were wiped out or whatever, went dormant. I don't know. As a result, the planet was plunged into darkness, and the refurbishment began with the creation of light, Genesis 1:3-5. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis 1:3-5. Now remember, this light is similar to the light described in the New Jerusalem and the New Creation. Remember Revelation 21:23-24? And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The refurbishing day too. The earth had lost its atmosphere, apparently. It could have been, you know, just stripped. Who knows? But there were different gases that had to be formed. And so now we got nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, all the rest of it here at our planet. And again, it may not have happened that way because it's not really clear about that. There's also water on the earth's surface above the firmament. Now, here we go. This is going to get a lot of you guys to get all excited when I start talking about this. Above the firmament that Jesus identified as the atmosphere. And a lot of people believe that this was a frozen canopy of water above the earth, and it enveloped the entire planet like a dome. Is what they're talking about here. And the firmament there was frozen water that enveloped the earth in a canopy, which was to be used to filter the future sun rays and block the ultraviolet rays from the sun. The canopy would also distribute the heat from the sun evenly, thus making a perfect climate on the earth. It became like a giant greenhouse. And then God said in Genesis 1:6-8, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Wow. Now, I'm going to continue with this tomorrow on this, but I wanted to share with you that. And I know a lot of you who send me emails, you're going to be all excited. I just talked about all that and talked about the firmament and the ice canopy and all that. But guys, listen to me. This planet and what we do here is not what we think it is. It's not. This is prison planet Earth. God created Adam and Eve to be here. It was a paradise with the Garden of Eden. And then Lucifer was unleashed, and he's taking his minions now, doing his thing with the evil ones that are with him. And this war in the heavenlies continues to be fought on a daily basis. And we need to understand that. And we need to also realize that because God did this for us and he gave us Jesus, remember, Jesus plus one, God plus one, is always a majority. It always is. God can do anything he wants to do, including trying Lucifer and burning him up inside out and turning him into a spirit of ashes. He can do anything he wants. And he could have completely killed all of them, but he chained them up and locked them here on the planet. Again, I brought this up two or three times this week. What the heck is going on with Antarctica? What the heck is that giant ice wall that Admiral Byrd talked about? And why are there frigates that patrol the entire Antarctica region who basically say, you know, you can't come in here. We will shoot you and we will kill you. If you do not turn around, we will be arrested. If you try to fly over it, you're shot down to protect you. It's all such a stinking lie. And so we have to understand there's something else going on down there. I mean, what do they have down there? You know, why don't you, you know, you can, same thing with Google Earth. You try to zoom in on Antarctica, you know, have fun with all that. And see, all of this stuff is just not being told to us. Something is locked up down there. You know, something is probably locked up in some type of interdimensional interface, some type of giant, you know, whatever above Antarctica up in the heavenlies. I don't know. I mean, we don't know what's going on with this stuff. They won't lie. They all use lies. You know, God told us in the Old Testament. He's amazing. He's God, right? He's the great I am. He gives the children of Israel. He gives them. He says, hey, here, by the way, you know, I'm gonna give you. I'm setting you two things for today. I'm gonna tell you how to be blessed. I'm gonna tell you how you're gonna get cursed. That's what I'm putting for you: blessings and cursings. If you do this, you're gonna be blessed, blessed, blessed. If you do this, you'll be cursed, cursed, cursed. And he goes, now I got a little cliff note for you here. You know, choose life, not death. But they still couldn't listen. And that's why I've read that to you in Deuteronomy, where Moses is basically having a conversation with God. And God says to Moses, it doesn't make any difference. Once you die, these people are going to fall away. And they're going to start worshiping other gods. And they're going to start sacrificing their children again. It's what they do. It's what they did. It's what the earth does. And it's not just the Jews doing this, guys. You got a lot of people out there that are involved in Satanism that aren't Jewish. Don't be putting that off on the Jews. This is the synagogue of Satan. A lot of them claim to be Jews, but they are not. They're of the evil one. We've got to realize it talks about that both in Revelation. The book of John talks about it with Jesus. You know, we've got just as many people who claim to be, quote unquote, you know, agnostic or atheist, and now they become Satanists and become, they worship the evil one, that are doing it also, and they have, their background could be German or Russian or British or whatever. The whole world has become perverse. It really, because we were given an incredible gift through Jesus. And for thousands of years, you know, we promoted Christ through the Christian churches. We did. Now, there was some contamination and there was some corruption in them. There really was, especially with the Catholic Church and their selling of indulgences and the Crusades and a lot of the stuff they did with the Inquisition. All these, I'm not going to go into all that. But the point was, we've walked away from that now as an aggregate people on this planet. And it's sad to me that this has taken such a foothold with the people in this world that they are following the evil one. That's why you and I, we have to put on the full armor of God every single day, and we've got to stand our ground. And we've got to realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that he is the great I am, that he is the Alpha and he's the Omega, he's the beginning and the end. And he already knows. He knows when I was going to be born 1,000 years ago. He knows when I'm going to be with him, when I pass away. He knows all of it already. He knows all of it. He's that powerful. He's that omnipotent. He's that omnipresent. And we have the ability to have a blood covenant with him through Jesus. When Jesus died on that cross, it changed the game forever. And it gave us the ability to stand against the evil one and resist him, because now we're being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to write on our hearts his laws and his decrees, and we'll know what the right thing to do is through the Holy Spirit.